continuing with Psalm 33, in the verse that says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their supplication." In the gospel that we just heard, the last one, our Savior said, "He who hears you hears me." In the scriptures, and this is the way the Old Testament Hebrews thought, this is their mindset: if you hear, you obey. If you hear, you do something. And so in scriptures, when it says that someone did not hear, it doesn't mean that the sounds didn't travel into their ears and that they didn't make out the words. It means that they may have heard the sounds and made out the words, but they didn't care to do anything based on what they heard. And so when it says his ears are opened unto their supplication, it's not as if God doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked. It's that he doesn't respond to the prayers of the wicked if they're not prayers of repentance. In the Epistle of 1 John, it says, "And whatever ye ask, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And in the Gospel of John, our Savior says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." And again, in the first epistle of St. John, it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So the scriptures tell us very clearly that if we are righteous, if we abide in Christ, if we keep his commandments, that our prayers will be answered. But there's this one little qualification that we have in that last verse that I read: if we ask anything according to his will. And that is the key to our prayers, and that's that we need to learn to pray such that we see things the way that God sees them, and we begin to want the things that God wants and to hate the things that God hates. And when we reach the point where we see things from God's perspective and our will is aligned with his will, then anything we ask, God will grant. And even our Savior says, if we say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea," it will be done. Well, you know, if you've ever tried that, it probably hasn't worked. But it probably hasn't worked because you maybe haven't reached that state spiritually, or it wasn't God's will. But when you reach the point which the great saints have in this life, where their will is so aligned with the will of God, wonders are worked through their prayers, because when they pray, they really are praying what God wants, and God is willing to grant, because God is listening to someone who has fully obeyed his commandments, completely abides in him, and truly loves him. And so that person becomes an instrument of the will of God, and that's what we want to strive for. "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, utterly to destroy the remembrance of them from the earth." In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." Again, it's not that God doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked. It's that if you have not repented, if you are not trying to align your life with Christ, and you pray to God, even that is a sin upon all the other sins in your life. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." If we don't listen to God, then why would we think that God would listen to what we have to say? There are two ways that we can not listen to what God has to say. One is we know what God wants us to do or what God wants us to not do, and we choose to disregard that. That's one way that we don't listen to what God says. But the other way is we simply don't bother to find out what it is that God says, because we never crack open the Bible. We never read the writings of the fathers. We don't seek to inform our consciences about what it is that God has for us. That's just as bad, and in some ways it's even worse, because you don't even care enough about what God has to say to bother to find out what it is. And so so it's important that we obey the will of God as we know it, but it's also extremely important that we find out what the will of God is, and that requires that we diligently study, that we study the scriptures, that we study the writings of the fathers and the saints of the church. The prophet Jeremiah preached a very famous sermon at the temple in Jerusalem at a time when Israel was in apostasy, and he said, "Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations.' Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord." The people that Jeremiah is addressing probably never would have actually vocalized the words that Jeremiah attributes to them, but what he's saying is their behavior was saying these things, that somehow they were coming into the temple and saying that God had saved them, God had protected their nation, and God was blessing them so that they could do all these evil things, so that they could disregard his will, so they could do whatever else it is that they wanted. And we, as Orthodox Christians, need to understand that God is not some sort of a magic amulet. Going to church is not some magic spell that we cast so that we get some sort of a blessing from God, but then we do whatever else it is that we want. It doesn't work that way. God is not mocked. God is not a toy. God is not tinkered with. God expects 100% obedience. God expects 100% commitment. God loves us with everything. He came in the flesh and died on the cross because he loved us, and he expects that we will love him in return without reservation, that we don't hold back, that we're not unfaithful to him in the rest of our lives. And so we can't come to church and expect that God's going to bless us and then live like the devil the rest of the week. The righteous cried, and the Lord heard them, and he delivered them out of all their tribulations. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a contrite heart, and he will save the humble of spirit. So, if I'm experiencing tribulations and I cry out to God, why does it often happen that I'm still in the tribulation, and the tribulation doesn't come to an end? Well, what St. Augustine says on this, he uses the imagery of a physician. Of course, mind you, he was talking at a time when they didn't have anesthesiologists that could knock you out when you had to have surgery. But he said, "What kind of a physician who truly was merciful would hear the cries of his patient who's crying out in pain and not cut out the tissue that is putrefied, that's rotting, that needs to be cut off to save the life of the patient?" And he also uses the image of a mother who's scrubbing the child. And of course, when you've seen a mother who's scrubbing a child, particularly back then when the soap was probably not quite so sensitive as it is nowadays, often the child is struggling and crying out, and, you know, "Why? Stop. But the mother doesn't stop. The mother allows the pain and the discomfort to continue for the child, not because the mother doesn't care for the child, but in fact just the opposite, because the mother does care for the child. And God does not always immediately deliver us out of a tribulation because these things are for our salvation. Just like the physician loves a patient that continues to inflict the pain, that's for the good of the patient, and just like the mother often will inflict pain upon their children for the good of the child, God will allow us to struggle with various tribulations because these are the things that he has placed in our life to bring about our salvation. And it's up to us to respond accordingly and to allow these things to be for our good rather than for our ill. If we abide in Christ, and we study his commandments, and we obey them and pray in accordance with God's will, he will always hear us. As the prophet David says in another psalm, "For though I walk in the midst of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they have comforted me." And again, "And thy mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."